Welcome once again to Vines Online. If you're joining us for the first time, it's great to see you. Well, sort of. You know, we have 30 minutes-ish where we gather together and we have some scripture, we have a reflection, we have a kids chat, we have some songs. And the idea is to continue to build our faith while we're in isolation. Now, we know that we're actually endeavouring to loosen some of those restrictions, and in the next week, the leaders team will actually hand out or provide you with some more information about what the Vines and how we understand those rules to be and what impact that has on us. So again, you would have received some stuff from the Grapevine, and the CEO from the Uniting Church, Felicity Avery, has also provided some material for you to read. So, okay, enough from me on that section. Hope you're doing okay. Now, normally worship is a time when we bring all of the experiences from the past week into the now. So I don't know what sort of week you've had. Maybe it's been a frenetic, maybe it's been boring. Maybe you've had your cranky pants on by mistake. Maybe you've been digging defensive trenches everywhere, feeling under siege or, yeah, whatever. We bring all this stuff to worship on a Sunday. And the idea is that we leave it here. It's a reset Sunday. It's an opportunity to start as clean as the whiteboard behind me at the end of this service. So, that's the invitation you have, to come to worship today and leave those things behind that have frustrated, annoyed, hurt, grieved you. As part of our time together, Sarah is going to lead us in worship with her team. Thank you, Sarah.
Hi, everyone. The first song we're going to sing today is called Beautiful Saviour by Stuart Townsend. And as the song says, we're countless worshippers. We'll share one song. Even though we're all apart, we can share this song together. Please join me in singing.
History.
yeah, beautiful words. I love that song. It really stirs me. Now, our time together is shaped by the Bible reading. And today we've got two readings. The first one comes from John 14, verses 15 to 17 from the New RSV. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides in you, and he will be in you. The second reading comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. And we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given to us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, this is the time for our Sunday school chat. Now, we've been really busy. Every Sunday morning about 10 o'clock, we have a Zoom in with the Sunday school, and I ask them a whole pile of questions. This week's theme is on passing on love. And I'm going to invite you to pause with me and watch some of their responses.
So what do we do with footballs?
You kick it.
All right, what about this? What about this? What is this?
A basketball.
Oh, what do we do with this?
We throw it in the dribble and then you shoot hoops.
Yeah, yeah, you shoot some hoops. Oops. So what would happen if I got on the football field and I got the ball and I just held it? What is that? Sounds like a monster. What would happen if I just held the football? Is that how you play football?
You get tackled.
Okay. You get tackled if you hold the ball. But what am I supposed to do when I get the ball, Josh? Jason? What does your dad do when he's playing football apart from going, oh, my leg, and oh, that hurt? What does he do with the football when he gets it?
He's running with the ball. He
kicks it to a teammate. All right. That's is that what we do with footballs and basketballs? We pass it on?
Yes.
Or netball or tennis? So this week we're talking about God's love. Now, when we get God's love, it reminds us of mum's love. Do we just keep mum's love to ourselves?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. What do we do with love? Do we just keep it to ourselves, or what happened? Okay, Josh. Josiah, you want to give me a hand? What do you think? What do we do with love? Do we keep it to ourselves, or do we do like we do on a football field? Not tackle someone. What do we do on a footy field? We
share
it around.
Some good insights there. What's interesting is Kristen then asks about some of the gifts that people have shared with her and the impact that has had on her.
I actually put some little gifts in here. Some of these little gifts there that that people have given me over the years that show me that they love them. I got this one from my dad once. This is close together or far apart, you're forever in my heart. So I thought that's kind of like we are at the moment. We're all very far apart, but we're all still in each other's hearts. And this one was from my mum. She wrote me this little present. She said, it's got a little note on it. You never unwrap it. It's just a reminder of the love. It's like a little gift. The love is inside the gift. And I got one from my brother and got a few other people in there, but I just remember thinking, when we get these gifts, it reminds us how much these people love us, like we gave our mum's gifts for Mother's Day.
Then we then asked Sabina, made the comment about the impact of what it was like for someone to give her a gift. How did that feel?
It made me feel special and loved.
And finally, with Mother's Day just have been completed, we asked a mother what sort of joy she had. And this is Sarah's answer.
I built things Mum got for Mother's Day.
Marshmallow.
Oh, she's a marshmallow fiend, that woman. Your mother.
I'm going to demonstrate.
Yes, show us. Show us how.
Nice sharing.
Yes. I hope you're going to share with me.
So love can make us feel lots of different things, can't it? And I think the important thing to remember is we're called to pass this love on. Not to hoard it, but to pass it on. So that ends our time with the children today. Our notice is, again, I invite you to continue to look at the grapevine. We send you the grapevine on a Wednesday-ish and on the grape on a Saturday. Again, it's trying to give you some resources to think about, keep you informed, educated even. There are some things in which you can chew on that will grow your inner person. So that's really important. You had the General Secretary, Felicity Avery's email, and this week at some stage we'll update you with how the Vines Uniting Church applies it. It'll be pretty simple. All right, I'm going to pause now for a prayer. Let's pray. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together over this wonderful technology. We pray that these words, the songs, the prayers, just this time together will help shape us and grow us in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking about love. Love, love, love. You know, love is a powerful thing, isn't it? Can you think of your favorite song that reminds you of being in love, or you know, the first kiss, the first stroll on the beach, the first dance, the first time you went, ah, there's something more here than just friendship? What was it? Can you remember it? For all of us, it's a little bit different, isn't it? Interestingly, for me, it's a B-52's Love Shack, baby, on New Year's Eve 1990, where I suddenly had a connection with a young woman called Ellie. So there you go. The rest is history. But that song reminds me of a lot of stuff. Whenever I hear it, I smile and I remember back to that time. And it was a lovely moment. But love songs are also about the joys, but also the hardship, aren't they? How many times do we hear breakup songs, or, you know, some of them are just horrible, depressing. And there's a song that when it was first released, I just couldn't believe it. You know, I can't live if living is without you. I mean, I was just flicking channels the other day and I heard it come on. I mean, man, it's so depressing. But I guess, you know, that's how people feel in it and what a broken heart is like. So it's tough. Love is a mixture of joy and grief. It's a whole pile of stuff, isn't it? And I suppose if we don't want to have our hearts broken, then I guess we just don't fall in love. But that in itself is heartbreaking too. So in the end, love is a complex thing. It costs us something, doesn't it? When we love, it's not a free gift. It has an impact. And it's interesting, in the Greek, the Bible was written in, the New Testament particularly, there were four types of love. Now, for all you Greek scholars out there, my apologies in advance. Storge is a term used for affection. That's like love between a family. Philia is friendship, like love between friends. What American city is named after this? Do you know? Eros, or eroticism, is that romantic love between a couple. Agape, which is the unconditional love that God has towards humanity. You know, love costs us something. And having just celebrated Lent, Easter, Anzac Day, Mother's Day, what sacrifice, we know it's significant. It means something to us. It costs us something. So when God says, I love humanity, when God says, I love you unconditionally, and Jesus is an example and is the person that love is expressed in and through, it costs God a lot to love us unconditionally. Now, love is about relationship. And, you know, last week we were talking about Albert Einstein and his great theory of relativity, E equals MC squared. Well, I did a lot of thought on that. And I've actually come up with what I would say is the theory for love. It's called L equals MJ squared by the power of four. Let me show you my work. And there you have my workings out, people. That is love. The power of love. I should copyright that, really, shouldn't I? Anyway, let me not distract myself. So, while I don't consider myself the guru of love, we all know what love is like, don't we? We all experience it. We all know it. We feel it. We discover it. We know it. So, this whole process is really endeavoring to remind us that love is a personal thing. But it's not only about human beings' love, is it? It's about God, self, and others. It's that connection that we're not islands, we're not by ourselves. And as Christians, we have a relationship with God through Jesus. So, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus says. And we know love has a reciprocal nature. It's not meant to be a transactional thing like, I'll love you if you do this for me. I mean, sometimes relationships fall into that, and you know, sometimes, you know, I cook, you do the dishes. Well, that's fine. But if everything becomes, I'll only do something if you do something for me, that misses the point of what love is. Because when we keep count, it just stores up disaster for another day. Jesus was saying, I love you. And because of my love, I hope you live this stuff out. You follow these commandments, that you live this way. Because Jesus' death and his resurrection really paid all our sins in full. All those mistakes, all those failures, all those things that we've ever done have been paid in full. And this is where I really like infant baptism, from the point of view that before I was even born, God died through Jesus and rose to new life. When I'm born, I've got no idea. I didn't have any idea because it happened 2,000 years ago. And so it's part of that discovering. It's part of that discovering and owning. But it doesn't change the fundamental truth. Before I was born, God chose to be with me. I love that. I was ignorant, and yet God's love remains. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. God's love for us is unconditional. It's not something I can earn or accept. But having accepted that I'm loved by God, what do I do? What is the response to God's love that I can have? So in the remaining 5 minutes, I'm going to try and answer that question. Now, if we're in the church, I probably would decide to do a 5-week series just based on that. But online, I've got a little less time. So let me have a crack. Love requires constant response. Relationships live and die on the basis of this interaction. Even a prickly cactus needs water. Doesn't matter who you are, all of us need love. All of us need to be reaffirmed. Even if your relationship is awkward and tough, it still needs to be affirmed and loved. In response to Jesus' sacrifice, in response to God's unconditional love, what is it that John is wanting us to do? Now, John, being a Jew when he wrote that, obviously assumed we'd be familiar with the Ten Commandments. So that is a given. And someone said about the Ten Commandments, the good thing about the Ten Commandments is there's only 10 of them. And we know how that goes. But John had something else in mind. In John chapter 3, verses 23, he explains it like this. And this is his commandment, that you should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as I've commanded you. Oh, just as he has commanded you. One of the responses to love is belief. Now, does our belief in Jesus make Jesus feel good? No, it's not about Jesus. It's about us. It's about simply living out this faith and this belief in a way that has congruency, that has relativeness, that has reality, real, tangible, you know, whatever verb, adjective you want to try and come up with. Because God's choice of us never wavers, our openness to God's love does. I mean, if we're honest, I mean, in relationships, people fall in and out of love with people. I mean, people even fall in out of love with God. But God's choice of us never changes. For God, there is a default position, that is unconditional love and acceptance. And we as human beings struggle to understand that. And yet God's love is there to bring our heads and our hearts together in the lived experience of life with all the suffering and hardship and surround us and indwell us with some hope and life. And in that life and love, we're not sitting there just basking in its glory on a rock somewhere. We're asked to do something with it. Not hoard this love, but do something with it. You know, when my kids were younger, I used to say to them, hey, look, whenever you look in the mirror, you're going to see a part of me looking back at you. And Isabel thought about that and said, oh, which part? And that really in some ways is the answer, isn't it? Or the question. Which part of our lives is showing, living the love of God? Which part of our lives are we loving one another with? I mean, how does that look in this environment? How do we believe in Jesus and love others in the COVID-19 environment? So faith, like love, needs to be shared. Now, in the children's talk, we really focused on passing on God's love, you know, hence the football and the basketball. And there are certain terms and items that really have sentimental value to us because they express love. And Kristen picked up that the little symbol she used that people had given her that reminded her of the love they had for her. So part of your task this week is to find things that are significant reminders of people's love for you. And the other thing is, are there things you can do to be able to provide those symbols of love for others? What might that look like? What might that be? How do we communicate that faith and love in this environment? Okay, let me pause as I offer a prayer as we gather, and then Sarah is going to lead us in another song. Lord Jesus, we pause and remember the different words that have been thrown at us today, the different images and symbols. We ask that you would stir something within us. Help us to take away one thing for us to chew on and change this week. In Jesus' name. Thanks, Sarah Band.
Please join us as we sing Let Your Presence Fall.
Lord, we proclaim you. Lord, we proclaim you now of your mighty power and your awesome majesty. Lord, come upon us now and release your power and let your presence fall. Oh Lord, oh Lord, release your power and let your presence fall.
Thanks, Sarah. That's beautiful words. Now, one of the interesting challenges we have in life, and the invitation I had right at the beginning of the service, is sometimes our lives look as messy as that whiteboard when we get to the end of the week or get to Sunday. So I'm going to pause, and we're going to share a prayer as I ask the Holy Spirit to help you let go of stuff this week. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love that embraces us and impacts us all the time. We ask that you would continue to open our lives to your filling of the Spirit. Refresh us, renew us, make us whole. And as we do that, we give this stuff to you. We let go our hurts and pains so that your forgiveness may flow in. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So our sins are forgiven, and God will remove them as far as east is from west, or as clean as that whiteboard. So, go in peace. Hey, look, as we finish today, remember, great to see you. Check your grapevine. Check your The Grape Saturday. Remember, we've got our Zoom in morning tea. And if you'd like to be a part of that, there's information in the grapevine so you can continue to connect in. And again, it's like 10 minutes, an hour, whatever you like. It's not, you know, just great to see your face on Zoom. Remember our motto, phone a friend and choose life, because you can't get the virus over the phone, but you can pass on God's love. And that's what we're trying to do, isn't it? So I hope you have a great week. I love you to see you all, and I can't wait to catch up with you again. Amen.